I am recording. You ready? Here we go.
Give me that clap. Yes. Oh my gosh, we have a professional in our presence.
Hello and welcome to In the Frame. Today's guest is Matt Blaker, who is currently starring as Raoul in the West End production of The Phantom of the Opera. Matt recently took over the role and joined the show, having previously understudied the role back in 2017 in the West End. Having trained at the Guildford School of Acting, just a few of Matt's earliest theatre credits include Pride and Prejudice, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Dusty, and Jesus Christ Superstar. Following his first stint in Phantom, he went on to play Bob Gordio in the international tour of Jersey Boys. He did South Pacific and Cabaret, and most recently he starred as Billy Bigelow in Carousel at the Kilworth House Theatre. It was such a pleasure to speak to Matt about all things Phantom, about how he ventured into the industry, about some of his earlier experiences just after he graduated, and all sorts of things. It was a total treat and we had a lot of fun. Here's the interview. Matt Blaker, you're in the frame.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. So exciting.
Not at all. And not only are you in the frame, but you are Raoul right now. Like, come on, has that sunk in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's great. I love going to work every day. I love being there. The building's amazing. It's an absolute sort of delight, really.
What gear is your head in? Are you like chill now, in the schedule, used to this West End leading man life, like where you at?
So I covered the part like 6 years ago. So I have kind of had a head start a little bit. So it almost feels too familiar too quickly, if you know what I mean. So I've done it, like, I did it maybe 50 times back 5 or 6 years ago. And we're already on what, like show 25. Mm-hmm. So it feels super settled already, which is lovely, but also slightly terrifying. Cause it's like, I feel like, oh, I've settled right into it now. How am I going to feel in 6 months' time?
So I just read a story from another interview that you did about how you saw the show years ago and you saw it with a friend and then he's ended up being the show with you. So like, talk me through. So when you saw this, when you saw Phantom originally, were you like, oh my God, Raoul is a bit of me. I need to play this role.
Yeah, so we were in drama school together.
What's his name?
Howell Dowsell.
Come on, Hal.
I know. I've name checked him in pretty much every interview I've done. So he's loving it. He's loving it. His social media following is going through the roof. And so me and Howell sort of, we were at drama school, we went to Guildford. And Hal was like, oh, you know, my all-time favourite show, I love it more than anything, is Phantom of the Opera. And I said, oh, that's weird, I've never seen it. And when I was at school, actually, and I haven't actually, this is an interview, this is a West End Frame exclusive.
We love to see it.
When I was at school, I remember I refused to sing. I didn't sing at all. Like, it was not a thing. And we're already going off track of your actual question. But
no, I love it. This is what I'm here for.
When I was at school, I refused to sing and I wouldn't do it. And, you know, everyone sort of said, oh, go on. Because I was musical. I played the saxophone and the clarinet and sort of stuff like that. But I wasn't.
We're coming on to that. Don't you worry.
I was not singing. That was absolutely not a thing I was doing. And then they needed somebody to actually sing the Phantom part of Angel of Music. And they said, look, you know, we really, really need you to sing it. But I know that you don't want to sing, so you don't have to be on stage. You can sing it like off stage, like no one can see you. You can stand behind this thing. And I was like, great, I'll do that. And my mom actually came to watch it. And she sort of said, I didn't even know it was you. She was like, I didn't even know who that person was. I said, oh, who's this person with a good voice? Like, it's crazy. We didn't know who it was. That was my sort of only experience of Phantom up until 2012, 2013, when Hal said, oh, it's my favourite show. And I said, oh, I've sung this one song from it before when I was like maybe 14. But I didn't know it. And he said, right, we'll go. And we went to see it and we got the cheapest possible tickets. which were restricted view, and we sat behind a pillar. So we were either side of a pillar. So we were like sort of leaning to the side the whole time. I just got absolutely sort of blown away by it, really. Nadim, who I was understudying six yeah. years ago, was understudying Raoul at that point. So it's all very sort of full circle.
That's okay.
And we absolutely loved it. And it was, you know, just so vocally impressive. The story was so impressive. It looks beautiful. And I remember stage. Actually, I've met this guy loads in sort of in professional life. I remember sort of stage dooring Will Barrett, who was playing Raoul at the time, and being like, "Oh my gosh, you were amazing!" And I really want to. I know him quite well now, and he doesn't know this story, so I've never admitted this to him. I was like, "You're amazing. You know, I'd really love to do this one day. I'd really love to do it." And he was really sort of generous with his time, and it was about these two sort of 19-year-old drama school students who were very enthusiastic. And he sort of said, yeah, you should absolutely do it. And 10 years later, pretty much to the day, both me and Howell are in the show, which is amazing and super special and lovely for us both. And actually, we sort of shared our first onstage moment. Howell's a swing, so he covers sort of 17,000 ensemble tracks in the show. And we had our first moment on stage together the other day, and that was really lovely.
That how amazing, because I'm sure so many people went up to Will that year and people will do the same to you now, be like, oh, I want to do this. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, like, good luck. But you actually went on and, you've made it happen. It's incredible.
And actually, I did a backstage tour the other day for a boy who was at the same school as me. He went to the same school as me and he wanted to be an actor, and he got in touch and he said, you know, my family are bringing me to see the show. I'd love to meet you afterwards. And I sort of showed him around and showed everything, how everything works, and guaranteed he'll be there in 10 years time. And the circle keeps sort of rolling round.
When you went into it the first time, what was that contract like? Did you enjoy getting on? Did you enjoy doing it? Did you enjoy coming into the world? So I know it's got a crazy fandom. It's an amazing show. There's a lot that comes with it almost, isn't there?
Yeah, it was so special for me. It was my sort of first West End show, my first sort of West End job. And we did the 30th anniversary about 2 months into the contract, and the original cast came back, and Michael Crawford's on stage and everybody's there, and we did this big sort of gala finish, and that was something I will genuinely remember forever. And it was so, so special. And we had this fantastic party at the Prince of Wales Theatre afterwards. You know, that's not as important as this show, but that was also good. it was great. And, you know, getting on for the first time was a bit of a rush, actually, because I'd done my cover run for the first time on the Friday. And gave it, obviously, 140%. You know, you absolutely sell out everything in that first cover run. And then I got a call from the company manager on the Saturday morning saying, you're on for two shows today. Literally the day afterwards. And I was like, oh, I don't, I've absolutely given everything. I was like, I don't know how that's going to go. But it was great. And my parents came, and it was super special. So that first year was amazing. And, you know, I always had a sort of one eye on coming back and doing it again.
Well, it looks like from your CV that maybe Phantom first time was a bit of a turning point, because that was the moment when then you went on and you played Bob Gaudio, and it led to all sorts of incredible leading roles, most recently Billy. So I love, we're doing it in a funny order here, but I often talk to people on this show about like when they leave drama school, their ambitions are and how they just want to work, etc. Then when they get to that stage, it's like, oh, okay, I want something else now. It's time to start saying no to certain things and push myself more in this direction. So the Phantom helped you to be like, oh, you know, I've played Raoul, I've had a taste of it, I want to push myself now with this credit to do more leading roles.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it was such a... You're right, it was a real turning point. And it's funny because you don't often look at it in that way. You don't often think about it in that way. And then when other people sort of bring it up, it really sort of brings it home to what actually it was. So I think it was a real turning point. It was super special as an experience. And then moving on from that, So I actually auditioned for the role when I was the first cover. And I'd already booked Jersey Boys. And I was kind of deciding between what I wanted to do. Did I want to stay? Did I want to go and do, did I want to go on tour? Did I want to do Jersey Boys? And I didn't get it, the role in town full time. They just said, look, you know, you've had a fantastic year as the first cover. We want you to go away and do some other stuff. And then,
I think they said exactly the same thing to Nadim when he did his year of covering. Yeah. They were like, go and do other things. And then I remember him saying, then he, you know, come back when you've done more stuff, and it happens.
Yeah, they 100%. They were like, look, you know, you've had a great time. We've been brilliant. We've really loved having you. There is a place for you in this building, 100%. But just go away and do other things. And I did. And I went and did Jersey Boys. It was amazing and other stuff. And this year is actually the first time I'd re-auditioned, which was really nice. And I sort of re-auditioned for it and got it. And that's just amazing. And it was so, I actually fully didn't believe my agent when he rang, because he rang and he sort of said, oh, you know, you've booked it. And I was like, booked what? And he was like, you've booked Raoul. And I was like, oh my God, that is crazy. So it's, it was amazing. And it's so special to be back.
Ever wondered what it takes to make it in the movie business? Peel back the curtain with 4-6 Success Filmmaking. 4-6 Success Filmmaking is where filmmakers share their stories and the secrets.
It's beyond competitive out there.
There have been movies that it's taken me 10 years to get made.
Don't wait to create. Like, you've got to just keep making stuff.
Tune in to 4-6 Success Filmmaking for your dose of cinematic realness, direct from the voices that have lived it.
It talks to me, you're going back into rehearsals. It's like in the back of your mind somewhere, but obviously this is now a slightly different production. It's the new refreshed version, which I haven't seen yet, but I've heard amazing things about. Was it there? Did it come back to you straight away? Or were you like, oh my God, I've forgotten everything. What am I doing?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting question, because I think that actually I almost had to unlearn the previous show.
Wow.
Now, it was 5 or 6 years, so really I actually remembered much less than I thought I was going to remember. I really did remember much less, actually. And quite embarrassingly so, actually, when we first started. They thought, oh, you've done this before. And I went, yeah, but I don't remember any of it. And because we came, I literally finished Carousel on the Sunday. I had 2 shows on the Sunday. I drove straight back to London on the Sunday night. We'd done 2 9-show weeks in a row, so I was absolutely wrecked.
No party.
4-show weekends, so 2 Saturday, 2 Sunday.
Not even some chips in the lovely, like, tree wooden, like, but what is it? Like the wooden bar they have there.
In the cabin.
The cabin, yeah, thank you. Yeah, oh my God, I love going there.
And so, 2 shows on the Sunday, got straight in the car, drove back, got back to my flat in London about 2:30 in the morning, and I had a vocal call with Simon Lee, the musical supervisor, at 10 a.m. And I was croaky. And it was coming back. And actually, I think so many good changes have been made. And Seth, who is the director of the new production, has a real incredible eye for detail. And his knowledge of the show is literally unparalleled. It's unbelievable. So you can ask him any question. You can ask him any sort of bit of direction, and he will know it. Mm-hmm. So I think it was coming at it with a real fresh view and a fresh look. And I'm 5 years older, 5-6 years older. We've all gone through a certain, you know, experience over the last couple of years with the pandemic and so on, and it's given me certainly a new appreciation for the business. I went through a long period in lockdown where I wasn't, you know, entirely convinced whether I was returning to the business, what was going on, like what was happening. So to actually sort of come back to it with these sort of fresh eyes was lovely. And he gave me some really interesting points, and it's, you know, the story is much more, you know, this new version And I think in the way that I'm trying to portray the character is not only all the, you know, the romance and the heroism and all of this sort of thing, but actually there's so much conflict in it. And that's something that I hadn't ever really thought about before. And it's trying to make the character as three-dimensional as possible, really. And to give him all sorts of motivations. And Seth talks about the three faces of Raoul. You know, we can go into this sort of very deep. I can go on and on, but it's about how he is sort of the Vicon and the societal pressures sort of sitting on him. And then there's also this second face of the boy and the sort of the young man underneath who's just sort of desperately trying to sort of prove himself. And the third face, which is the boy trying to play the Vicon. And there's so much in there.
I've never heard that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And that's something that I'm really trying to sit into with the characters, these three sort of faces of him, because it's so easy to sit into your stereotypical heroic leading man stature when actually there's so much more. And that's been so interesting coming back 5 years later is unlocking all of that.
But what blows my mind, it was in lockdown, I was doing a podcast and I can't remember how, but kind of like Phantom versus Raoul came up in conversation.
Brilliant.
And oh my goodness, I had no idea that it was a whole thing. And then the response on social media and an email sending comments just blew my mind. Everyone has an opinion. We did a poll on Instagram. It was so funny, and people have so much to say, and people really feel passionately about these characters. And I guess, you know, they're all doing some questionable things, you know.
100%.
And you have to, but you have to get behind Raoul, don't you? For your point of view, you have to make him a human, and you know, like you say, bring those motivations, understand him, your version of him, anyway, to justify
Definitely.
Your performance.
And going into this sort of Phantom versus Raoul thing, because it is a whole. a whole other thing. And social media has just taken this to a whole new level. People are so passionate. And the most people that sort of message me on social media and stuff now, on Instagram, whatever, they sort of say, oh, you know, I definitely went into this being Team Phantom, and I've left being... No, still Team Phantom. No. They go, I've left, you know, left being Team Raoul, which is amazing.
You've turned me.
That's the biggest compliment you can get, really, isn't it?
But how, absolutely. And how incredible that you get to do all of that with Cillian Donnelly, who is incredible. And Lucy St. Louis is just unbelievable. I mean, you have the most killer trio. I'm sure you're able to have some fun with it. I mean, they're also incredible vocalists, but they're both such incredible actors as well, right?
Yeah, they're so amazing. And actually, you know, I have to give huge, huge credit to Lucy, because she not only was doing the show 7 times a week, but rehearsing with me during the day. And that is, wow. You know, no easy ask for anyone, but for someone to play Christine 7 times a week and then rehearse with a new Raoul pretty much every day for a month is amazing. And, you know, she gives 110% every single night. And she's committed and generous and honest and, you know, a wonderful, wonderful performer and a lovely person, which makes life very, very easy. Which is great. And I know I'd mentioned this in a previous interview, but working with Cillian is a little bit of a pinch me dream moment. And I sound like a competition winner whenever I do interviews, and it's really embarrassing.
Yeah, I saw you said that on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah. But I used to watch videos of Cillian playing Andras and stuff and playing Raoul when I was at drama school and be like, God, you know, I want to be like him. I want to do what he's doing, because he is, you know, Cillian is super committed, super professional. His work is so detailed and honest, and it's really amazing. So actually now, sometimes I'm on stage in the final layer going, oh, that's Cillian Donnelly. Isn't that funny? Isn't life funny?
I try and avoid like dream role questions because they're too cliche. But is there part of you that's like, ooh, well, Cillian went from Raoul to Phantom, and, you know, I've sung some of that score, and, you know, maybe I could play Phantom one day.
Dear Cameron McIntosh casting team, I would love to play the Phantom one day.
You heard it here first.
You did.
Okay, let's rewind. I want to go back because we started in the present and then we went back a little bit. I want to go back further. You obviously went to GSA. Mm-hmm. I want to know, Matt Blaker, the child, on a scale of 1 to Elaine Page, how stagey was he? What was he doing? Was he out here doing every school play and singing Carousel in the school playground? Or was he like one of these sports people?
So I think I was probably a bit of an enigma, really, because, and actually I have to give huge credit to my school, Sherfield, where I went to school. It was considered cool to do everything, right?
Good.
It was considered cool to do sport. It was considered cool to do drama. You know, we had, local Reading football captain was also in the school play.
Unheard of.
You know, and that is the best thing. And actually, I do quite a lot of teaching now, and I teach at a couple of schools sort of in my local area during the day, just a few hours a week, private singing. And my whole big ethos is it's cool to do everything. You know, to not just be this person that does. I don't believe in cliques, and I don't believe in that. And I believe that absolutely anybody, you know, whether you are super sporty or super whatever, should also be able to go and be in the play or be in the musical or do whatever, you know, they want to do. And it's, you know, that is the best thing. So my school was so supportive of that. So, and actually, I'll show you this photo later, but somebody dug out a program of, I must have been 12 or 13, a program of, we did a Midsummer Night's Dream at school, and I played Lysander, and there's a picture of me on the front cover with the greasiest hair you've ever seen in your life.
Oh my
gosh. And my mom sort of took a picture of it the other day and sort of showed it to me and said, you know, How much will you pay me to not release this to the press?
I need her number now. Yeah.
it's quite horrendous. So yeah, I think I definitely was, you know, I played lots of sport. I played cricket and rugby and football and everything. But also we did all the school plays and we did all the things like that. I think my, you know, as I said, like taking it back to sort of basics, like I grew up being musical, playing saxophone and a little bit of the clarinet and bits and bobs like that. But the big sort of turning point for me was my high school musical moment. We did in year 11, the school did a production of Grease. And having not, you know, I'd done little bits and bobs, but I definitely didn't sing and I absolutely was not going to do that. And they said, look, you know, we're looking for a cast of Grease. And I said, God, all right, go on then. I'll go up, get out there for a bit of a laugh and do an audition and whatever. And everyone was sort of very supportive. And I got the part of Danny.
Yes.
And I absolutely loved it. And I genuinely had the best time. It was, I think I started and I just went, yeah, you know what? I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And it was amazing. We just had the best time. And from then on, I sort of decided, you know, what do I need to do to make this happen? And I have to give huge credit because I then turned up at a local dance school about a year later. So I'm what, 17, 16, maybe 16, 17. And I turned up at a local dance school, never danced before in my entire life. And I said, I want to go to drama school. What do I need to do to make this happen? And the dance teacher said, we will see you at ballet at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So I turned up.
What age group were you in?
I was very lucky. There were quite a few sort of people of that age. Jodie Steele was actually one of them.
No way!
Yeah, who hadn't got a huge amount of dance background, who wanted to go to drama school. So they put us all together. So we kind of all learnt together.
What area was this, roughly?
So I'm from the sort of Basingstoke, Reading area.
Sure. Nice.
And I've known Jodie since we were about 14. We went to college together. And we were both in this sort of want to go to drama school but don't have a huge amount of experience dance class together. And she was the best, obviously. But and then from there, I sort of carried on and ended up going to Guildford, which was the best experience.
Incredible. And then when you graduated, who was the mat then? Normally you graduate and you're like, please someone give me a job, someone employ me. Like, or were you quite, did you have, we were these very organized people who had like a set plan of like, I'm going to do this and do it one year in the ensemble and become a first cover. And then, you know, how privy were you?
Not really. Like I came out sort of drama school and I'd done my sort of third year shows. And then I got an agent and I started auditioning. And my first audition ever was Mamma Mia for West End production of Mamma Mia. And I thought, I dressed like super beachy.
You have a nice tan.
I probably had a bit of a tan. I had like my shirt open. I had like a necklace on. I don't think I've ever worn a necklace in my life. I had a necklace on. And I turned up and I thought, come on, this is, I'm like straight out of drama school, like Billy Big Bollocks, like I'm going to book this. And I walked into the room and I shook like a leaf. I cracked my way through Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner. And I got cut immediately. and I've never been seen since, but actually, and I got cut immediately, and it was a real sort of wake up into, okay, this is a business, like this is hard, this is going to be hard. And actually it was the best thing that could have happened to me, because coming out of drama school, you know, I thought that the world was going to just kind of fall over and I was just going to walk straight through it. And actually that doesn't happen. And I've had so many setbacks since then. And I think it's such a huge lesson that actually, you know, what, you won't book everything 100%, and you won't, you're not right for everything. And it was such a wake up. And I remember calling my agent and being like, I've messed it all up. And they were like, don't worry, it'll be fine. You know, it's just the first of many. And I had so many sort of setbacks in that first year. I was actually in the finals for Les Mis in town, for Ghost on Tour, and The Commitments in town, all in the same week. I was still at drama school at this point. All in the same week, I had those finals. And on the same day, I was like, you know, I'm going to book one of them. Surely I'll book one of them. And on the same day, I didn't get all three.
That's a hard day.
Yeah, it was a very, very hard day, actually. But a wake up into the reality of the business, you know, the reality of the world. And it was as I was saying about Mamma Mia, it's another thing that it was the best thing that could have happened, because then I went and I worked. And my first job was at the Lyric Theatre in Belfast. And I did a musical version of Pride and Prejudice.
Love it.
And I was Mr. Bingley.
Love it.
And it was amazing. And, you know, I got to play a part and create my own role. And it was a brand new piece of theatre, brand new piece of music. And it was brilliant. And it was a real sort of creative experience. And from there I went into Joseph, where I was covered Matt Lipinskas as the Pharaoh. And I think I sort of worked my way up, you know.
There's a lot to be said for that, isn't there? There's a lot to be said for those experiences and doing different shows. I mean, like, I saw Dusty at the Charing Cross Theatre.
Oh my god. Which was reviewed in Time Out as being supernaturally awful.
We don't need to go into the ins and outs of it. But like, but you know what I mean? Those experiences, you get, it's interesting because you get people who like jump into West End shows and do West End job after West End job. And they say to me things like, I just want to do a short contract and create a role like in Salisbury, or, you know, go off somewhere, go off to Kilworth House and do a cute revival for, you know, a few months. I think there's a lot to be said for doing your time and having different experiences, and it really, then you learn so much, right? And you'll work with so many different people, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but some people might do one show for 3 years, and in that time that they've done one show in their first 3 years since graduating, look at all the different things that you did and people that you met and how that, you know, was all added to your toolkit, essentially. It's just, it's not right or wrong, it's just a different experience. Plus, what I wanted to ask is then you did some jobs where you were getting a saxophone out and you were, you know, treating us to some active miso. And I mean, that is now becoming more and more of a thing. You were way ahead of the trend.
Absolutely. It's funny because my parents would always give me grief because I never used to practice my saxophone ever. The only time it ever comes out now is when I'm auditioning for active music jobs. And I suddenly sort of have to remind myself how it works and how to actually play it. it's been great. Like there would have been so many long periods where I would have been out of work had I not had that extra sort of skill. And active music is hard. Like it's really hard.
It's outrageous.
And I would love, my sort of dream, I did the Watermill Theatre. Have you ever been to there?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite theatres in the whole country. And I did their youth theatre when I was a child. Well, when I was like maybe 15, 16. And I've always wanted to go back and perform there. And I've never had the opportunity to audition for them, which is like, it's just never kind of worked out at the right time. But their Act Muso productions are incredible. So that's probably the only time that my saxophone would come out again now.
Not for like an Act Muso Phantom where you're playing the Phantom and like...
Oh, I don't think so.
Instead of like on the boat, your saxophone is like the oar and there's so much you can do. Okay, I want to jump forward now because we don't have much more time. So Jersey Boys, I'm so fascinated. I never got to see that production because this was like a different production, right, that went around doing this international tour. Luke Shepherd, incredible. Talk to you about that experience and what it was like to, you got to, were you part of the original cast of that production? Were you part of the team that was reinventing? How weird to be, and amazing to be reinventing such an iconic show like that. That's such a rare opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. And Luke was amazing. Like he is, you know, an absolute dream director to work with. He's got such vision, such great ideas. And he's so easy and nice to work with, and I've actually I've had such great experiences with directors I've worked with, and Nick Winston, who I just did Carousel with, is an absolute dream, and Luke was brilliant as well, and Jersey Boys was great, and actually it ended up being that some of my best friends were on that job. And they're now, you know, still to this day some of my closest friends, and we still have a WhatsApp group that's still, the four of us, the four seasons have a WhatsApp group that's still going, you know, very regularly, which is amazing. And I think the show, obviously, you can reinvent it, but only to a certain extent, because the music is still the music, and the script is still the script, and it's
I haven't seen the choreography, but there's a style that goes.
There's
with
a style,
the music
absolutely,
that would be and consistent,
100%. And it was. Brilliant. It was a real dream show. When I left drama school, there were, you know, I know we're staying away from dream roles, but there were three things that I wanted to...
Tell me the dream roles if you want to. Not even people that want to say what their dream roles are. You spill the tea.
There were three things that I wanted to do. I wanted to... Once I'd seen Phantom, I wanted to play Raoul, which I've ticked off. I wanted to play Gordio, which I ticked off. And I wanted to play Andras, which I haven't done, but it's close. So two out of three is not too bad, I don't think.
Yeah, we'll take two out of three. And then, but I mean, Billy Bigelow wasn't on there. And I mean, Jesus Christ, I think that's like something that would be terrifying for most people to take on.
We did Carousel in second year at drama school as like our book musical. And I was and I was absolutely determined that I was going to play Billy. We had multiple Billies in that. So there were three or four Billies sort of splitting the show. And I auditioned and I thought, yeah, absolutely. You know, this has gone really well. And I was cast as Mr. Bascom with four lines. And I spent the entire term at drama school throwing a strop.
Livid.
Livid. And I thought, gosh, this will, you know, Carousel, I never want to do it again. It was such a, you know, such a rubbish experience. I never want to do it again.
It's dead to me.
It's dead. It is literally dead to me. And then my agent got in touch and said, "Oh, Francis Goodhand and Nick Winston are doing Carousel at Kilworth House," and I was like, "Sign me up now!"
Imagine you were like, "No, I'm not doing it."
Yeah, yeah. I was like, "No, sign me up." That was.
It's a beast, though, Matt.
Absolute role of a lifetime. Like, you know, you step onto stage and you're like, "Right, okay, so soliloquy. I'll see you in 8 minutes."
Yeah, and everyone else is chilling.
And the funniest thing about Kilworth is obviously when you're doing a matinee, you can see everyone. It's like daytime.
Tense. Yeah, yeah,
so sometimes in the matinees, halfway through soliloquy, people would be going to the toilet, checking their phone.
And you're giving your life.
I'm literally selling my soul out there.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. But how amazing to like to have conquered that. To be like, yeah, I did that.
It was so, so special. As I said, like, coming back from the pandemic, I think a lot of performers, and me especially, I wasn't sure about my level of stamina. I wasn't sure whether I still had 8 shows a week in me, you know, especially singing roles like that. Like, I didn't know how I was going to feel about it, how I was going to be able to, could I still do it? I think I had a bit of a crisis of confidence, really. Mm-hmm. I have the most incredible singing teacher, Dane Chalfin, who literally saved my entire career, and I owe him such a huge amount. And he basically coached me through the show and said, you know, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to do it. I didn't miss a show in 58 shows of Carousel. Wow. I did the whole lot. And
wow.
It was, it was so special. And, you know, coming back into the business, not being entirely convinced how I was going to feel or how it was going to be, it was just the best welcome back. It was amazing.
Well, it sounds incredible to go from that mindset to conquering Billy to now, you know, doing a West End leading man debut with Raoul.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, the latest credit of a whole bunch of incredible credits. Are you excited? Like, now, obviously, you've got, you know, you're in this year now and you're going to enjoy every second, but looking ahead a little bit, you must be like, back in the game, ready to conquer 100%. Everything.
You know, and I think it's so important that, just, you know, talking about sort of the mental health aspect of it, that, you know, people do have lows and people do have lows, but also there are, you know, highs, and this is such a great high. It's amazing.
Just doing this podcast alone. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so like, God. And I'm so delighted that to be here. And it's, I think looking ahead, it gives you such confidence into the future for the things to come.
Absolutely. Oh, listen, thank you so much for talking to me. I feel like we could go on and on.
Oh my gosh. And I have to tell you that when I left drama school, Western Frame was like the online sort of portal. And I was always like, God, I really just want to be on Western Frame. That's really what I want to do.
No, genuinely.
And I'm slipping this in just at the end so that, you know, but genuinely, so when Phantom said, oh, you've got an interview with Western Frame, I was like, tick, nailed it. Career complete. I can now retire.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. That's the best thing ever.
Because you did all the cast announcements and everything, and it was such a big deal. And now, you know, because you were kind of at the forefront of the social media age of theatre, I guess.
Yeah, before I retired.
Semi-retired,
yeah.
So being on a West End Frame interview, big tick in the box.
Well, you'll have to come back. What we do, when you come in real life, we do these in real life as well, then you get a West End Frame mug. So that's the next, that can be the new, you're ticked off this dream, but let's add that dream onto the list.
100%.
So at some point in the future, come into the studio, we'll do a lovely interview, we'll do the West End Frame show, and then you can get a little Western Frame mug to treasure forever.
I mean, I feel like you've had all of the exclusives today as well, all of the insight.
You have, but you know who you're talking to. That's so funny. Oh, that means a lot. That's really kind. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Good luck. Everyone needs to come and see Phantom, Her Majesty's Theatre. Be there. I need to come and see this new production. I'll come and see it soon. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much to Matt for taking time out of his day to record this episode. Make sure you go and check out The Phantom of the Opera in the West End. It's an incredible show, and I cannot wait to go and see Matt star as Raoul very soon. If you're enjoying the season of In the Frame, hit follow, hit subscribe, and you can even leave us an Apple Podcast rating and review. We always love hearing from you, so stay up to date with West End Frame on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Check out our other podcast, The West End Frame Show, for your weekly stagey catch-up. And I'll be back next week with Jacob Fowler, who recently starred as JD in the London production of Heathers. But until then, thank you for listening.